All right, hey guys, welcome back to another kind of reading session slash ASMR. If you want me to whisper, I'll do a little bit of that too. I'll go kind of loud, then I'll go a little bit quieter for those who probably enjoy this or that, or even for those who want me to whisper. I'll change it up a little bit this time. I'll make it slightly interesting, because no one likes a monotonous sort of thing, I guess. And yeah, anyway, so let me start. Each DNA molecule that forms a linear chromosome must contain a centromere, two telomeres, and replication origins. That's a DNA molecule that forms a linear chromosome, and we know that a chromosome has a centromere, it has two telomeres, top and bottom, and replication origins. Okay. So, to form a functional chromosome, a DNA molecule must be able to do more than simply carry genes. It must be able to replicate, and the replicated copies must be separated and reliably partitioned into daughter cells at each division. This process occurs through an ordered series of stages, collectively known as a cell cycle, which provides for a temporal separation between the duplication of chromosomes and their segregation into daughter cells. For those of you who absolutely are lost already, basically what it's saying is, or what it means, is a better way of putting it, is that a DNA molecule must be able to replicate. You know, we know DNA, it replicates, it duplicates, and it also, it does, DNA replicates, and then DNA is, you know, I can't remember the second one, but you know, DNA has to be copied in protein synthesis and DNA replication, and obviously we know that what happens here is when the DNA is kind of involved in cell division, we know that the DNA is taken, the DNA is replicated to form another copy, and that other copy will go to the daughter cell. And that's how you have two copies of the same kind of DNA, the same gene, you know what I mean? That's how you have two identical cells. Okay, so carrying on, the cell cycle briefly, during a long interphase, genes are expressed and chromosomes are replicated. Let me do that again, just whilst whispering. Okay, so briefly, during a long interphase, genes are expressed and chromosomes are replicated. Okay. So, briefly, during a long interphase, genes are expressed and chromosomes are replicated. Interphase is kind of the biggest phase, yeah, I guess, in the cell cycle, or during the cell division cycle, what it really is. Okay, with the two replicas remaining together as a pair of sister chromatids, so we know that the DNA the DNA replicates, and obviously the DNA comprises of the, or the chromosome comprises of the DNA, and obviously when the DNA replicates, it makes another copy of itself, and that forms the other half of a chromosome, and obviously that's going to be passed on to the other cell, the half of the other half of the chromosome. And so that's the kind of other replica. That's why a chromosome is known as a sister chromatids. Okay. So throughout this time, the chromosomes are extended and much of their chromatin exists as long threads in the nucleus, so that individual chromosomes cannot easily be distinguished, chromatin is just what makes up all kind of the DNA. It's like a string with beads in it, and the beads are basically proteins, and when you kind of condense all of that and put it together, it forms a chromosome. That this is very, very kind of like simplifying it in very little detail. Carrying on. So throughout this time, the chromosomes are extended in much of their chromatin exists as long threads in the nucleus, so that individual chromosomes cannot be easily distinguished. It is only during a much briefer period of mitosis that each chromosome condenses so that its two sister chromatids can be separated and distributed to the daughter nuclei, to the two daughter nuclei. The highly condensed chromosomes in a dividing cell are known as mitotic chromosomes. Pardon me. I've been doing this for a while now. It gets tiring. Anyways, this is the form in which chromosomes are most easily visualized. Yeah, when they condense, kind of getting ready to separate, that's when we normally see them under an electron microscope. Okay, so the highly condensed chromosomes in the dividing cell are known as mitotic chromosomes. This is the form in which chromosomes are most easily visualized. In fact, the images of chromosomes shown so far in the chapter are chromosomes in mitosis, of course, because that's the only time we ever see them. Each chromosome operates as a distinct structural unit. For a copy to be passed on to each daughter cell at division, each chromosome must be able to replicate, and the newly replicated copies must subsequently be separated and partitioned. Basically, what that means is that you have kind of the chromosome replicates during interphase, getting ready for mitosis. Mitosis occurs, and then obviously the chromosome is split, and then it's you know, each kind of portion of the chromosome is given to each daughter cell, and the chromosomes or the DNA must be able to do that, must be able to replicate when it's you know, getting ready for mitosis or cell division or protein synthesis. Let me read this little paragraph on the side. It says, a simplified view of the eukaryotic cell cycle. So during interphase, the cell is actively expressing its genes and is therefore synthesizing proteins. Yes, it is, because it's preparing, because remember, organelles are also doing the same thing. You don't just have DNA replication, you have organelle replication, because the daughter cells are going to need organelles as well. Also during interphase and before cell division, the DNA is replicated and each chromosome is duplicated to produce two closely paired sister DNA molecules called sister chromatids. A cell with only one type of chromosome present in maternal and paternal copies is illustrated here. Once the DNA replication is complete, the cell can enter M phase, when mitosis occurs and the nucleus is divided into two daughter nuclei. During this stage, the chromosomes condense, the nuclear envelope breaks down, and the mitotic spindle forms. The mitotic spindle forms from microtubules and other proteins. The condensed mitotic chromosomes are captured by the mitotic spindle, and one complete set of chromosomes is then pulled to each end of the cell, separating the members of each sister chromatid pair. A nuclear envelope reforms around each chromosome set, and in the final step of M phase, the cell divides to produce two daughter cells. Most of the time in the cell cycle is spent in interphase. That doesn't make sense. Basically, of the cycle, for the most part, it's interphase. Like 70%-ish. Probably, 60%, I'd say. M phase is brief in comparison, occupying only about an hour in many mammalian cells. Okay, give me a second to just briefly read over this. Okay. Yeah. All right. Should be good to go. Okay. All right. So, let me just read over this. Each chromosome operates as a distinct structural unit. For a copy to be passed on to each daughter cell at division, each chromosome must be able to replicate, and the newly replicated copies must subsequently be separated and partitioned correctly into the two daughter cells. These basic functions are controlled by three types of specialized nucleotide sequences in the DNA, each of which binds to specific proteins that guide the machinery that replicates and segregates chromosomes. 419, which is, okay, I actually don't know what's going on. So these basic functions are controlled by three types of specialized nucleotide sequences in the DNA, each of which binds to specific proteins that guide the machinery that replicates and segregates chromosomes. So there are portions. So there are three types of specialized nucleotide units. Okay. Trying to understand this. Okay. This is mad. But okay. Anyway, let me carry on reading to understand this. Okay, so experiments in yeasts. Sorry. Experiments in yeasts whose chromosomes are relatively small and easy to manipulate have identified the minimal DNA sequence elements responsible for each of these functions. One type of nucleotide sequence acts as a DNA replication origin, the location at which duplication of the DNA begins. Eukaryotic chromosomes contain many origins of replication to ensure that the entire chromosome can be replicated rapidly, as discussed. Okay, sorry. After DNA replication, two sister chromatids that form each chromosome remain attached to one another, and as the cell cycle proceeds, are condensed further to produce mitotic chromosomes. The presence of a second specialized DNA sequence called a centromere allows one copy of each duplicated and condensed chromosome to be pulled into each daughter cell when a cell divides. A protein complex called kinetochore, Jesus, what a weird name. So a protein complex called kinetochore forms at the centromere and attaches the duplicated chromosomes to the mitotic spindle, allowing them to be pulled apart. Okay. The third specialized DNA sequence forms telomeres. What the hell is the first one? Okay, the first one is the DNA replication origin. So certain points, the location at which the duplication of DNA begins. Okay, so that's where DNA duplication starts. Then you have the centromere, is where the mitotic spindle joins, or the spindle fibers. They join on and they kind of rip the chromosomes apart. So that half and half goes into each daughter cell. Alright, and then, so the third specialized DNA sequence forms telomeres, the ends of a chromosome. Telomeres contain repeated nucleotide sequences that enable the ends of chromosomes to be efficiently replicated. Telomeres also perform another function. The repeated telomere DNA sequences, together with the regions adjoining them, form structures that protect the end of the chromosome from being mistaken by the cell for a broken DNA molecule in need of repair. Okay. I don't really need to know about that yet, apparently. Let me read that again. Telomeres also perform another function. The repeated telomere DNA sequences, the parts at the end, together with the regions adjoining them, which I'm guessing is the telomeres, form structures that protect the end of the chromosome from being mistaken by the cell for a broken DNA molecule in need of repair. Okay, in yeast cells, the three types of sequences required to propagate a chromosome are relatively short, typically less than 1,000 base pairs each, and therefore only use a tiny fraction of the information carrying capacity of a chromosome. Although telomere sequences are fairly simple and short in all eukaryotes, the DNA sequences that form centromeres and replication origins in more complex organisms are much longer than their yeast counterparts. For example, experiments suggest that a human centromere can contain up to 1 million nucleotide pairs, and that it may not require a stretch of DNA with a defined nucleotide sequence. Instead, as we shall discuss later apparently, a human centromere is thought to consist of a large, regularly repeating protein nucleic acid structure that can be inherited when a chromosome replicates. Okay, good for you, I guess. Let me read this. Figure 419, the three DNA sequences required to produce a eukaryotic chromosome that can be replicated and then segregated accurately at mitosis, which are the telomere, the replication origin, and the centromere. That's cool. Each chromosome has multiple origins of replication, one centromere and two telomeres. Okay. Shown here is a sequence of events that a typical chromosome follows during cell cycle. Okay, pulled apart. This is... Oh, I get it. Okay. This diagram is a bit dodgy. But yes, I do kind of understand what it is and where it's coming from. So, alright. Alright. The DNA replicates in interphase, beginning at the origins of replication and proceeding bidirectionally from the origins across the chromosome. In M phase, the centromere attaches to the duplicated chromosomes to the mitotic spindle. So, okay, I would say the other way around, spindle attaches to the centromere, but okay. So that a copy of the entire genome is distributed to each daughter cell during mitosis, the special structure that attaches to the centromere, that attaches the centromere to the spindle is a protein complex called kinetochore dark green. Cool. The centromere also helps to hold the duplicated chromosomes together until they are ready to be moved apart. Telomeres form special caps at each chromosome end. Okay. Know what I mean? So DNA molecules are highly condensed in chromosomes. All eukaryotic organisms have special ways of packaging DNA in chromosomes. For example, if the 48 million nucleotide pairs of DNA in human chromosome, 22 would be laid out as one long, perfect double helix. The molecule would extend for about 1.5 centimeters if stretched out end to end. But chromosome 22... But chromosome 22 measures only about 2 micrometers in length in mitosis, representing an end-to-end compaction ratio of over 7,000-fold. This remarkable feat of compression is performed by proteins that successfully coil and fold the DNA to higher and higher levels of organization. Although much less condensed than mitotic chromosomes, the DNA of human interface chromosome is still tightly packed. In these sections, it is important to keep in mind that chromosome structure is dynamic. We have seen that each chromosome condenses to an extreme degree in the M phase of the cell cycle, much less visible, but the enormous interest and importance specific regions of interface chromosomes decondense to allow access to specific DNA sequences for gene expression, DNA repair and replication, and then condense when these processes are completed. The packaging of chromosomes is therefore accomplished in a way that allows rapid, localized, on-demand access to DNA. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed. And I look forward to seeing you in the next podcast.